Thanks, Rylan. You're too good. You're too good. AJ, let's skip that first cartoon. Don't even put that up there. So I don't know if you all caught what was going on down here. I know you guys saw it. Did y'all see that, what was going on down there? You know, the Word of God says, unless you come to me like a little child, you'll not see the kingdom of heaven. I don't know if you know that. That got me. Now, okay, the parents over here, they were going, no. The Lord says, unless you come to me like a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That was beautiful. And that got me. Got me to the point of that I had a little cartoon, and I'm like, that's not appropriate for this service. First service got it, because they need life. Bubba, I love them, but they was dead today. Whew. We have forgotten the awesomeness of being a child and the wonder what Christ did. I said we, so don't go, oh my goodness, he's going to lecture us. We. Okay, me. You feel better now? Rev Kev did. And I've forgotten the wonder of the cross. 2 Timothy 1, first part of verse 8 says this, never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And we're so quick to blame everything and everyone. Just society as a whole, we love to blame everyone. We love to say everything is everybody else's fault but our own. If you don't believe me, check out all of our Facebooks about the OU-OSU game yesterday, and you'll see real quick. We want to blame Gundy. We want to blame everybody. The huge hit that happened yesterday, everybody knows what I'm talking about. I mean, it's all over Facebook, who did what and what happened. And then just our country, our society. Interesting conversation in first service. You'll hear a little bit more about this. But I was talking about millennials, and I made the statement, it's our fault how millennials are. And a couple of people, well, what do you mean it's our fault? And I went, bingo. Lay off. That's why when my daughter gets married in March, I'm changing the locks so she doesn't come back with the big, tall Indian, because they ain't living in my house. Even this thing called evangelism, we want to blame the culture. We want to blame everything on why we don't. Just even a conversation right down here, I made the statement in first service, it was mainly senior adults. I've taught this class 9, maybe 10 times, one verse evangelism, and I made the statement innocently, and I'm just sharing info, okay, FYI. I said, well, the first service, more than half of them heard it, and a true statement was given, yeah, but are they doing it? And I wanted to say back to this person, am I doing it? Rev Kev. Well, it's the culture. Well, it's the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Then we wonder why there's no moral compass in America. We want to... Can I do Pastor Scott's? Is he not here? He's going to listen to this. So I want to do it. Stop! I am an evil, wicked person inside, but you all knew that. 2 Timothy 1:8. Never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And I don't know if it's shame, being ashamed. I don't know if it's fear, rejection. Maybe it's all of those things. But we're just the messengers. Remember the old statement, don't hate the messenger. And Jesus even said that, didn't he? They hated me first. Remember? Don't be afraid. They hated me first. They killed me. But yet, I'm going to make an assumption here, and then you'll see at the end of the service, I'm going to take away that assumption. Hang on. We have an identity with Christ just because we're here at Central Baptist Church, a church that we say we know and believe Jesus. So let me make that assumption. And again, I'll yank it at the end. We have made an identity with Messiah, with Savior, with the one who gave his life for us. So we have that identity with him. Again, take the heat off. What difference does it make in rev cab on a daily basis, in day in, day out? Am I sharing that message? And there is, I believe, a right way and a correct way. We decided as a staff that we would use one verse evangelism. Guys, listen, as just an entry point, it's not the catch-all, be-all of salvation. Again, it's just a presentation. I didn't die for anyone. The staff didn't die for anyone. So it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. It's the Holy Spirit's job to save, because our Savior is the one that hung on a cross. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is the one that breathes new life into dead flesh. But I am responsible to speak. I am responsible to say, to do. Then why don't I? So we as a staff said we wanted to focus on, quote unquote, this word called evangelism, which is delivering the good news, the message of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, to my family members that are lost, to my friends that are lost, crying out loud to my neighbor across the street who is lost. So today I just want to present to you, and there's some in this room, 9 times of teaching a class, Deborah has taught it many times, to present to you simply a plan. Knowing this, I shared this in first service, that myself, Deborah, Pastor Scott, picked on David Gady, senior, we're senior, I picked on him, that there's 4 of us in this church that we know for sure that have no problem witnessing to a fire hydrant. And sometimes it gets saved. I don't know how that happens, but... but there's also many in this room that can do that. We can walk up to people and just start conversations. Then we do know that there are people in this room that would rather go into the back bathroom and throw up than to have to talk to someone. We understand that. But again, it's the Holy Spirit. This is just a starting point. Use the talents and gift that God has given you. I just want to walk through a plan with you. Rylan and I tried to put up a marker board up here, but we realized that was just ludicrous. So... AJ, go ahead and bring up the slide. So what we have here is the completed plan. You have a piece of paper that came straight from the navigators of this one verse evangelism. Those of you that have been in the class that I've taught or Deborah's taught, you also know this is also Billy Graham's Steps to Peace with God. This Steps to Peace with God is how I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. The plan, how I really came to know Jesus Christ, is the Holy Spirit said, you. And I said, me? And I surrendered. So I want to walk through this, and really at the end, I have something that's even vitally more important about how we can talk to society. And really, we're going to focus a little bit on millennials, because that's where we're at. So let's just walk through this. So basically, you're going to look at this if you have your piece of paper, you can also follow along. I'm more glued to that, but this is the finished product. Those of you that have been in class, those that haven't, this is how it works. You can write this on a piece of paper, on a napkin, on your best friend's dining room table with a Sharpie. I don't care what you do. On their forehead. Get a tattoo machine. I don't care. Put it on your back. I don't care. Whatever you do. Okay? This is a plan. Simple. This is not the end-all, be-all. Use what the Holy Spirit has given you, your heart, and speak. So we're going to go through this quickly. You can add verses. It says one verse, but you can add verses. You can do whatever God lays on your heart. The first verse, obviously, is the most important. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you want to find a blank piece of paper, turn over some spot where you can write this as we go along. But first, you write the verse on top of the piece of the paper. Just write it out. And then you just draw 2 cliffs on your little piece of paper that you have. I have it in front of me. You write 2 cliffs. On one side, you write a stick man. On the other side, you write the word God. And you just write the word of God. You don't write a bigger stick person. You don't write lightning bolts or fists. You just write the word God. And then you start off with the verse. If you notice on the screen, it says, you see the wages, sin, and death in bold. I just underline wages, sin, and then I circle the word death. And I circle the word death so it stands out. Very simply, you come and you write wages, sin, death, just like you see it up there or just like you see it on your paper. You start off very simply, wages. What is wages? Well, anybody here work or worked at Walmart? Raise your hand if you have. Because, okay, good, I can offend. All right, I hate Walmart, loathe it, can't stand it. I went to Walmart the other day for a stress reliever. I wanted to punch three people, and there were people I had no idea who they were. I mean, I can't stand, I went in Walmart, and I left angry. I can't stand Walmart. I don't know why. It just, everything closes in when you walk into Walmart. And I left in 5 minutes and went, why? I have not been to Walmart. You can ask my wife. Where is she? She's somewhere in here. Do I go to Walmart? It's the devil. So I went into Walmart, and I just couldn't stand. I left in 5 minutes. So I went to Atwoods, and all of a sudden I went, oh, Atwoods. They've got guns and beef jerky. Go to Atwoods. Go to Atwoods, guns and beef jerky. What else do you, and chicks. Molly and I went there and we had little chicks and we held them and petted them. They don't taste like chicken nuggets. I tried them. But anyway, so Walmart pays on a 2-week pay scale, all right? So I say this to people when I'm talking about wages. I say, look, you go to Walmart, you work your full 2 weeks, you take your couple of days off like you get your paycheck, you open it up, and it says $25. What do? And usually there's some, if it's lost people, there's curse words. And they say, I earned that money. I earned $25. What are you talking about? So what do you say? What? Why? Why are you so angry? I earned it. Wages. So you guys know this. It's so simple. I'm talking to people that are way smarter than I am. Well, a few of you. So you say wages. It's what you've earned. If it's teenagers and they babysit, please don't let any of these boys babysit your children. But if it's a beautiful young woman that babysits, I say you worked 8 hours. Yes, you are beautiful. If it's 8 hours and you say at the end of 8 hours, they come and give you 50 cents, what are you going to do? You know, I'm going to kidnap their child and hold it for ransom is usually what they say. It's your wages. It's what you've earned. And then I say this, do you know God will hold your life for wages of what you've done through your life, what you've earned? And it's so easy, you drop down to sin. God puts a wage on your life. You will earn a wage for what you've done. And you just drop very simply down to sin. Here's where we talk about this, not even generation, not even millennials, but this culture. There's no moral compass, right? Just the election, whether you're Democrat, Republican, or you don't know what you are because you're so jacked up like most of us. This proved there's no moral compass. Didn't matter who won, who lost. We live in a culture of just no moral compass at all. And we talked about this in my classes that we taught. We talked about this very fact. Sin. A few years ago, probably about 20 years ago, they used to say this in our evangelism classes. They used to say sin was, get this, missing the mark. Like you had a little bow and arrow. In fact, there was an illustration. We talked about this in first service. An illustration of a guy shooting an arrow, and there was a target, and the bow went, here's a target. It was like, oh, sin is missing the mark, everyone. Oh, my goodness. Sin is egregious. It's horrible. It's disgusting. It's a cancer that will kill you. It's also what put Jesus on the cross. Amen? By the way, I'm talking to church folk. If you go amen, I'll go quicker. Amen. All right, we're done. Amen. Dismissed. They finally took that out. Do you know why? Because it kind of developed into this cultural setting of, oh, sin's okay. You just missed the mark. Now we have a culture that goes, all right, what I've been doing for the last couple of years is counseling people, not just here, but with the funerals I've done out in the community and different things, I counsel people saying this, hey, I mean, I cheated on my taxes. It's okay. I stuck it to the government. They've been sticking it to me for years. Right? Gets worse. Yeah, I had an affair on my wife. I cheated on her. Yeah, who cares? Yeah, I left my wife for another woman, left my kids. I got a new family now. Are you following me? Here's what's happening now. You ready? Men, women. The women are far surpassing the men on affairs and leaving the children with the man. Why? Sin's just missing the mark. No big deal. I sin all the time. It's no big deal. Do you get where I'm going with this? So now we talk about sin, we talk about bad things and doing bad things, and guess what? The culture, the people don't care. Right? But here's what they do care about. Remember the cliffs, man and God. There's a great divide because sin in the Bible always talks about separation from God. Sin is a separation, a great separation. So what we can say about sin is this. You ever feel disconnected? Yeah. You ever feel like you're not belonging, not connecting? And you know how you know that? Because this culture also now is ranked percentage-wise as giving the most to charities. Also, they hug the whales. They kiss the trees. Think about it. What do you see all the time? Percentage-wise, they give more to charities. Percentage-wise, they do all these causes. But you know what happens? They still feel empty at the end of the day. Transgender, gender identity, all these things, they're trying to be what? Happy, belonging, fulfilled. Well, as long as it makes me happy, I'll leave my kids with my husband and I'm out. But at the end of the day, what are they? Empty. Why? Because the great divide gets wider and wider and wider. And everything they do, they just keep falling into this chasm of death. The wages of sin is what? What? Death. And then I circle that word death and I point to it. Do you ever feel dead inside? Yeah. We're also, we've talked about, Jeremy and I talked about this about 1,000 times, we're also the most over-medicated society. There was a great study, I should have printed it out. I shared it with Pastor Scott and some of the staff, a great study how now the top minds of psychology, and these are the guys at Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, now they're coming out and they're saying what? Stop medicating. By the way, these are lost people. They're the ones saying stop medicating, stop throwing pills at people because it dulls the senses. And that's why you got people walking around going, give me a dolphin to kiss. After the election, you know what we were talking about. I've been talking this to people in the hallway. They want to hear about this, and then some are telling me. After the election, the major universities went out and got puppies. Well, sorry your candidate lost. Here's a puppy to hug. Then one of our members told me that her son is at one of the major universities up north. Canceled exams the day after. And the students threw such a fit that they let some of them take them that Wednesday after, and the rest of you are too upset, you can take it a week later. I told the first service, man, if my dad was alive and I pulled that stunt, he kicked me. Grow up, boy. Again, be careful because we raised these kids. So be careful wagging your finger. Sin, the great divide, the great separation. The wages of sin is death. But then if you see on the illustration or if you see on your paper, there's a word at the bottom, but. Great word, but. It means a sharp contrast in ideas is coming. That means everything that we just said, the wages of sin is death, but everything's fixing to change. Everything. And what is that? I underline the words, free gift of God, then I circle, in fact, I circle a bunch of times, eternal life. And then again, I write down, free gift of God, eternal life. Then gift, this is great. This is where you start, this side is the good stuff, amen? This is the good stuff. And this is where you talk about a gift. When have you received a gift that you did not earn or deserve? A gift is awesome. My wife, when she was in the classes with me, talked about a gift that she got from our future son-in-law. And the cool thing about a gift, if you heard the story, you know it, real tearjerker, because all the women are like, oh, and the guys are like, something in my eyes, allergies. She got a gift from our future son-in-law. The greatest thing about a gift is this, somebody still had to pay a price, amen? Somebody still had to pay a price for that gift. And the gift was very simply, it was from our future son-in-law, the big tall Indian, something he made when he was 7 years old, that he gave to his mother. And his mother has been gone for 4 years. She died of cancer. So the gift very simply was, he calls her Mama Red. Gee, I wonder why. He said, Mama Red, not only did God give me a wonderful gift in Molly, but he gave me a new mom in you. Gift. Tell your heartwarming gifts. Talk about a gift to that person you're sharing with. A gift that was given to you from the heart. A gift that made a difference in your life. A gift that you didn't earn or deserve, but that somebody paid a price to give to you. And then you can talk about God. Here it is. We're talking about millennials again. Here we go. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell this. You guys, you know this. I know, Kira Kelsey, we talked about this. Adolescence now ends, they're saying, and who's they? Again, Harvard, Yale, Princeton. Go down the line. 35 years old. Kick them out of your house. Can't wait till Molly gets married. We're changing the locks. We're moving. And we're not telling anyone. It will not be an ACS, I promise you. And praise the Lord, my little daughter, Kara, up here, she lives in Broken Arrow. Thank goodness. Thank you, Jesus. 35 years old. Adolescence, 35. 35. Again, we raised them, so don't be, no, darn millennials. It's our fault. Here's where we can speak to millennials. Do you know it's also 35 years and down, the most spiritual generation ever? The problem is it's the wrong spirit most of the time.
Oh, mother dolphin.
Okay, it's tuna, all right? Anyway, but we've got the right spirit of the living God, amen? So when you talk to them and you talk about God, this free gift from God, talk about God of the universe. Here we go. We just sang about it. Creator God. You start talking about God of all creation, the God of all the universes, the God, the miraculous, awesome, awe-inspiring, holy God. I've seen it. Jeremy's seen it. You start talking about that, they go, you got him. And then you say, it was that God, that creator God, the God of the universe, the God of all creation. It was that God that gave you a gift. Why? They're self-absorbed. What is it? All about me? All about me? Me, 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 me? The God of the cosmos gave you a gift. And then what do? Eternal life. Eternal life. Okay, what's the opposite of eternal life? Eternal death. What's death? Separation. Whoa, here we go. We're connecting to a holy God. Now remember, this is just a jumping off point. This is when the Holy Spirit starts speaking to you and you start putting things together and start talking to them about philosophy and start talking to them and also listening to them. Say, well, I can't answer their questions. Tell them that. Find somebody that can. But you're just beginning the conversation and he gave you a gift. And then that's when you have to be way better than our youth minister, Jeremy, on drawing crosses. He is the worst. I'm sorry, you really are horrible. Have Angie draw your crosses because you're the worst I've ever seen. So what you do now is you've got this divide. You've written free gift of God is eternal life. I love you, Jeremy. And then you draw a cross right in the middle. Between what? Man and God. Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the only one that can give eternal life. And the Word of God even says no one can come to the Father but through me. Jesus Christ, he is the bridge. He is the bridge. Now, hang on, because I'm going to join two things together, and that is, up at the top of the cross, what's that word you see? Everybody say it loud. What? Now listen, this is vital. We're talking about a generation, a culture, and it's not just 35-year-old and down. Let's face it, it's most of us in here today. What do we have problems with? Let me explain. Mom and dad divorced. Dad cheated, had an affair. Oh, let's face it, now mom's cheated and had an affair. Somebody left the kids. Somebody doesn't come on Christmas. Somebody has a new family. Somebody abetted. Somebody abused me. This happened in my own home church. My dad was a leader, a Sunday school teacher, not my dad, my friend. And he sexually molested me all through high school. I just found that out a handful of years ago. My friend is not walking with God now because of that. I watched my dad have failed businesses and get fired and fired and fired because he cheated and he stole from the businesses and he got caught. He's a deacon in the church. You follow me? Stay with me. This is important. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you've been abused. You were abused by a trusted family member or friend. Here's the tough thing. I am a professional minister. Let's face it. I am a Pharisee. In some terms, some people look at me like that. I'm sharing the gospel. I'm sharing this, and they do this to me. You get paid to do that. You get paid to tell me this. And then I stop. And this is what I want to talk to you about. Let me read this verse to you. Luke 8:39. Jesus said, no, go back to your family. Tell them everything God has done for you. This was with the man with demons. And Jesus cast out the demons. And he wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, no, go back to your family. Tell them everything I've done for you. Testimony. I will stop right here. And I've done it and I still do it. And I stop and I tell them my story. And I tell them things like this. When I was 15, I thought I knew Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I remember even teaching a senior adult Sunday school class, and I taught for my youth ministry when he was out of town on Wednesday nights at 14 years old. But at 15, I sat in a little tiny, 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 itty-bitty little camp called Falls Creek. Seeing that service, scared to death. Scared to fall asleep at night because I always had this reoccurring dream. I'd get up to heaven, and there's a big angel there with a book. And he'd go, Lawfer, Lawfer, Lawfer. Nope. You go down, and I'd wake up every time. I'm not making this up. And I'd be scared. And I was scared, and I was afraid. I had a fear of rejection, a fear of men. Because now my mom's sitting right here, and she's a wonderful lady. And I'll tell you what, she and my dad adopted me and gave me their name. But I always wanted to know, why did my real biological mother give me up? What was wrong with me? At 15 years old, I had a reoccurring thought. Why would she give me up? What was wrong with me? Was I bad, horrible? I was 2 months old when that happened. 2 months old. Unnatural thoughts from the enemy about being a horrible, rotten kid at 2 months old. And thanks be to God, I had the best parents ever, ever. But I still had those thoughts. And seeing that little service, and there's some other dynamics that I share with people that take too long to tell. That night, I found my youth minister. This is a true story. I'm not making this up. I've told some of you this story. I found my youth minister after the service, and I went, hey, man, Gene, is his name Gene? Man, I'm lost. And he went, huh? I'm not making this up. You are? Yeah. Why don't you sleep on it? The youth have heard this. I went, what? Yeah, sleep on it. We'll talk in the morning. I didn't sleep that night because I didn't know. I was too shell-shocked. I didn't know I could pray on my own and ask Jesus into my heart. So I thought I had to have him because, again, he's a professional minister. He's snoring over there, sleeping like a log, and I kept sitting up looking at him going, I'm going to go to hell, and you're going to sleep through it. You know, that's what I thought. No lie. 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm shaking his bed. I'm going to hell. Several months later, he trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior too. We should have fired him. You know, the more I think about that. He and our music minister got saved. Remember, Mom? They got saved months later. I share that story with people. You know what? They go from to. This is just a plan. This is just a plan. The heart of it is, Jesus Christ saved me when I was 15 years old. The heart of it is you. We've lost the wonder of what Jesus Christ did in us. You shall overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Have we forgotten that? Okay, I told the first service this because they're a tad older, a couple of years older than you guys. And I've told them this, we've got some senior adults here who've heard me say this, that they are skaters without a skateboard. But they were raised and taught, don't say a word about your weaknesses. That is a lie of the devil. What did Jesus tell the demonic after he was delivered? No, no, man, don't follow me. Uh-uh, buddy, uh-uh. You go home and tell your family what the Lord has done. You are commanded to tell what the Lord has done. Has he set you free? Come on now. Has he set you free? Has he set you free? Amen. Then tell it. Well, I'm scared what somebody's going to. Stop. Because the most powerful thing you have is your story of redemption. What your life was like before. What led to you being redeemed. And what is happening in your life now. Well, you don't know what I'm going through now. You still have Jesus, don't you? And he's still working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Somebody said that in the Bible. And he was a dude that wrote half the New Testament. Not that I've already obtained it yet, but one thing I do, pressing forward to what lies ahead, forgetting what lies behind. It's your story. Don't listen to the lies of the devil that your story doesn't matter. Well, I haven't done anything bad or horrible, neither did I. I didn't kill anybody yet. It's a joke. You'll get it when you're driving home. What has he done in your life? Saved your neck. Some of you, he's set free from things that are unimaginable. You don't have to tell every single detail, but you can say this: I once was blind, but now I see. I once was lame, but now I walked. I once was damned to hell. I'm now his kid. Hey, how about this? Man, I was once so disconnected and separated and didn't know who I was. Now I'm his forever. And I may not be perfect, and I may still have flaws, and I may have things going on in my life, but I can tell you this: I know whom I have believed. He is my Savior in the truest sense of the word. He is my Jesus. Two things. Number one, and we've been talking about our number one. Who is it? Who is it in your life that God keeps laying on your heart, laying on your heart, laying on your heart? And what do you do when they say no? The rich young ruler, we talked about this in the classes that we did with One Verse Evangelism. The rich young ruler, he walked away. He walked away. I want you to think about this for a second. What did Jesus not do? He didn't run after him. He didn't make the gospel easier. Oh, hey, rich young ruler, hey, man, I was kidding. You don't have to give it all away. I just give away a tenth. The gospel's still the gospel. You follow me? Jesus is the only way to salvation. He didn't change it. He didn't make it more palatable. He didn't say, oh, okay, well, you know what? We'll let you in the slide. He didn't chase after him. He said, this is how you get in. Give up everything. Oh, yeah. What did he say? Remember? Follow me. And the rich young ruler went away. The word of God says, because he owned much. Okay, here it is. And I'm almost done. I have, in fact, first service, I prayed for three family members. And it hurts because they're saying no, no, no. I still love them. I still fellowship with them. I hug their neck. I guarantee all three of them know exactly what I believe. I do not back down from it. I don't, no, I'm going to say that. I don't water it down. But I also don't throw it in their face like an arrogant religious jerk. But if they were here and you were asking them, they will tell you exactly what I believe. There's a time with one of them we did not fellowship at all. Now we do. They know I love them. They know I would do anything for them. But they know what I believe. Oh, yeah, and I'm crafty. Every once in a while when something happens, I'll just throw it in there real quick, like, you know, ding, Jesus love you, ding, throw it in. I back off. Because God also, the Holy Spirit, tells me when to back off. Get me? But then there are times the Holy Spirit says, throw that one in. Like, oh man, you're good. Yeah, I'm God, I know. Don't stop praying, but deal with the tension and the hurt and the pain. Because I do have a family member that died without Christ, and it hurts. But remember that word trust? I have to continually trust my Lord. Amen? Last thing. Do you have a testimony? We're talking about testimony. We're talking about all this, and we just presented a very plain plan of salvation. Do you have a testimony today? Are you sitting there going, I don't know what he's talking about. I don't have a testimony. Then, if you do not have a testimony, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you have been warned and you have been told, and listen to me, you will walk out of here today without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then you are still separated from a holy God. Because you have to trust Christ and cross over like that arrow shows. And you have to surrender yourself to his lordship, or you are not saved. Then I want to say this as clearly and plainly as I can today. Do not leave here today without heading over to that connection room where our staff will be and surrender your heart to Jesus Christ. Now, let me just say this, just like me in Falls Creek, you've heard it. You can surrender to Jesus Christ by simply just saying, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that my sins, my payment for sins will be death. So I surrender and I trust you, Jesus, alone for my salvation. Save me. Make me yours. And right where you are, you can pray and ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. But Jesus never did anything secret, and you can't either. You can do that where you are right now. In just a minute, Rhonda's going to come, and she's going to just play for us. And if you do that right where you're at, then you can walk over there and tell one of the staff what you've done. It's that simple. It's that simple. Yet, it cost you everything to cross that bridge. Rich young ruler, give up everything you got and follow me. And what did he do? Walked away. What are you going to do today? What are you going to do today? Right now, we're going to pray for that one. I've got three. That one person that you have, that you've been praying for and crying out to the Lord. I said this the first service, I say it right now. The Holy Spirit prays for us because we don't know how. Isn't that awesome? That means you literally, where you're sitting at right now, can go, oh God, and the Holy Spirit will pray for you so beautifully to the Father. And God will go, gotcha. Pray for your one. And while we're praying for our one, for those of you in here who do not have a testimony, listen to me. If I could come to every one of you, I would ask you your personal testimony. I would. But if you do not have one, then I'm going to ask that you go to that connection room right now. As our staff head over there now, go to that connection room while we're praying for our one. You do that right now. So right now, let's begin to pray for our one. Take him to the Father. The Holy Spirit will pray for us. You do that right now. Let's pray.